Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am in Bangor. I'm at the Bagel Central with independent candidate for governor, Elliot Cutler. Hi, Elliot, how are you?
Good, how are you? We're on the east side of Bangor.
We are. All I know is exit numbers. I know very little about Bangor.
Bangor is a great city. It's the I tell people, because I grew up here, I tell people that Bangor is the biggest city of 30,000 people in the world because it's all in their head and in their hearts. And it's an extraordinary city. I mean, city of 30,000, unbelievable.
It is. It is, because it does give me the impression that it's much larger.
Yeah.
So, Elliot, let me ask you what I ask all the candidates.
Why are you doing this?
That isn't even exactly it. Why do I want to vote for Elliot Cutler?
Well, several reasons. And the question really is, I think you want to vote for someone because of why they're running and what they intend to do. Let me tell you first why I'm running. Because the question really is, why are you doing this? I mean, people, that's always the first question anybody asks, and it's a good one.
If you can get an honest answer.
Well, and my answer is honest, and I'll tell you what it is. Number one is I'm a fighter and a reformer at heart, and I always have been my whole life. Ever since my mother took me to a PTA meeting at the age of 8, and I insisted on speaking, and I did, and she took me home and threw me at my father. I'm a fighter. And Maine is worth fighting for. Maine is worth fighting about. I owe everything that I've had and that my parents had to the fact that my grandfather ended up here almost by accident as an immigrant at the age of 12. And so I can't give up on the state of Maine, and I won't give up. Secondly, I have a vision for how great the state could be. We can be the comeback state of the next decade. You know, our resources, the North Woods, the Gulf of Maine, our rivers, our communities, our places, our people. There's no place like this in America, no place like this in the world. And we can and should be the greatest turnaround opportunity in the country, and we can do this. We're not Michigan, we're not Illinois, we're not California. We're small enough so that it's doable. And third, I have some very specific ideas that I've put on the table about how we can turn the state around. I come at this job, the job of governor, from a lifetime of experience in business and politics and government and law. And I think that all of those skills, all of those experiences, put me in a position to make a serious contribution to helping all of us turn the state around. This is a we thing, not an I thing. So why should you vote for me? You should vote for me because of the three promises I've made in this campaign, and they're the only three promises I've made. And the first promise is that I'm never going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you the truth about what I think's wrong with Maine. Second promise is that I'm going to spell out a very definite set of strategic, focused proposals to turn the state around. I've done that, and I'm in the process of adding detail to all of them. And third, I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to inspire you to believe, as I do, that we can do this together. My grandfather came to Bangor through Halifax at the age of 12. He was sent away from the village in which he'd grown up in the Russian Pale, what is now Belarus, by his parents, who were afraid that he would be conscripted, drafted into the Tsar's army at the age of 15, which is what happened to young boys then. So when he was 12, they put him on a ship, on a boat, and sent him across the Atlantic Ocean to Halifax. And he was 12 years old, he had no money, he didn't speak any English, and he was alone. And no family on the boat, no family where he was headed. And he landed in Halifax. And someone in his village had told his family to tell him when he got to Halifax he should go to this place called Bangor. Who knew? Why? I don't know why. He ends up in Bangor at the age of 12, and he spent the first 8 years of his life as a peddler. He walked in the 1880s. He walked from Bangor to Calais and back on the airline on Route 9. And he sold needles and threads and notions to people who lived by the side of the road. He ultimately settled in Bangor, married a woman who became my grandmother. They had three daughters, Catherine, Geneva, and Lucille. And in the middle of the Depression, in the 1930s, these daughters of this immigrant peddler went to college, and they all got graduate degrees in the 1930s.
Wow.
Which is an amazing story, and you can't have that story in your personal history and turn your back on Maine and give up on creating jobs and incomes and opportunities in the state. And I've got the plans to do it, and I want to do it.
That's a compelling story.
Well, it's compelling to me.
Yeah.
It has to be compelling to get somebody to do something like this.
I can't imagine three girls going, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. It really is. You mentioned the North Woods. You familiar with that area at all?
I am. Absolutely. I've been familiar since I was a kid. My father, when I was growing up in Bangor, my father was a doctor. He'd grown up in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents, also immigrants, had run a clothing store on Main Street in Old Town, Cutler's. And
what a coincidence.
What a coincidence. Right. I'm the only candidate, you know, in the state in this race that already has two towns in Maine named after him, Elliot and Cutler. So my father, in those days, doctors still made house calls.
Mm-hmm.
And he made house calls all over the state of Maine. He'd drive to Washington County, Aroostook County, Piscataquis County, Northern Penobscot County. And if it was on a summer day or a school vacation or a Saturday or Sunday, if he had to go somewhere, he'd ask my brothers and me whether one of us wanted to come with him. And I went with him as often as I could. And we'd go to Millinocket. We'd go to Caribou. We'd go to Eastport and Lubeck. We'd go to Dover Foxcroft. We'd go all over Maine, northern and eastern Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know the state pretty well.
Do you know the issues? Do you know anything about the issues up there?
I think I do.
Okay.
I pay a lot of attention to them.
Good. Sometimes I'll ask and I'll get a blank look. So, you know, let me just tell you really quickly. For the most part, the wood industry is going down. Paper mills are closing. I mean, you know.
Parts of it are going down.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a really important point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in Maine today, we're growing 10% more wood fiber than we've ever grown in our history.
Yes, we are. Yes.
But too much of it is leaving the country. You know, every 6 weeks or so, a ship, a big vessel, leaves Eastport with pulp from the Domtar Mill in Woodland, 38,000 tons of pulp, going to China to make coated paper that
to send back.
Comes back. Now, the problem we have to ask ourselves, we can't, you know, run around beating our chests and wringing our hands about the fact that wage scales in China are lower. They are. And in fact, now China's losing jobs to Bangladesh and other countries in Asia with lower wages than they have. But the real problem we have in Maine is not our wage scale. The real problem we have in Maine is that the prices, costs of living and doing business in the state are too high. We have a cost structure that's making us uncompetitive and shutting down our mills. Cost of energy, cost of electricity, cost of health care, and the cost of governing ourselves and providing public services. It's a wall. It's like a barrier that keeps investment out and shuts down mills. So even though Maine is still the second biggest paper producer in America today, mm-hmm. still, we're not doing anywhere near what we could be doing if we had a more competitive cost structure. And look, take electricity. You know, you cannot turn our natural resources, fish, wood, into finished products without using energy to do it. We have the cheapest electricity in Maine of any state in the Northeast. New York, New Jersey, all of New England.
The electricity itself.
The electricity is cheaper here than it is anywhere else. But you know something? It's not good enough. Because we don't compete for economic activity with the states around us. If you make lumber or paper from wood fiber, you're competing with the Pacific Northwest, with Wisconsin, and with the southeastern United States.
Right.
All of whom have cheaper electricity than you do. If you build ships at Bath Iron Works, best shipbuilders in America, they compete with one other shipyard in America, and it's in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and their electricity prices are 25% lower than ours. If you process lobsters or blueberries or potatoes, you're competing with Canada 2 to 4 cents a kilowatt hour. So our problem is getting our electricity prices lower to get our costs of doing business down. When that happens, and I've said how I intend to make it happen, when that happens, we can compete with everybody. You're going to see mills opening up. You're going to see Maine take off again. It's the key that unlocks the future of this state.
And just briefly, for our listeners, what is it that you plan to do to make that happen?
Number one, I want to have an energy finance authority, a public power authority. You know, the most successful new factory in the state of Maine in the last 10 years is in Madison. They make tomatoes. They make 120,000 pounds a day. They grow tomatoes in a 45-acre greenhouse, and it's in Madison because Madison has a municipal utility. 27 states have an energy finance authority of some sort. It's not a big new agency. It's just an authority that allows the public to invest with tax-exempt capital, cheapest form of capital, to invest in producing electricity in Maine, keeping it in Maine to create jobs and incomes in Maine. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is we need to have a two-way discussion, two-way negotiation with our friends in Canada who have all that cheap electricity and our friends in ISO New England who need it south of us. It's a two-way negotiation. It's going to be tough. I've done those kinds of things before. We need to diversify our energy portfolio and get our electricity prices down.
And so you think that's one of the major stumbling blocks to our economy up here?
I do, and I think we need to be a bigger energy producer of all sorts than we are: wind, solar, biomass, natural gas. We need to generate electricity from and import it from every place we can think of to have a really diversified mix. We should continue to be an exporter of electricity. We can be, but we also, it's really important, we need to keep some of that electricity at a low cost in Maine to create jobs and incomes in Maine and allow us to compete with the states with which we do compete.
What about taxes, too? I mean, I hear people say we're the most overtaxed state in the union. You give any credence to that?
We're heavily taxed. Our tax burden is too high. And it's not only that our tax burden is too high, Michelle, it's too high in the wrong places and in the wrong kinds. After the defeat of that incremental tax reform measure that the legislature passed, which was defeated because not on principle. I mean, I think most people in Maine think we ought to be taxing consumption and not savings, which is what they tried to do, and I respect them for that. And I voted for it for that reason. But you can't sell tax reform when people look at it and say, I don't understand it, and to the extent I do understand it, I don't think it's fair. And when you tax golf courses, don't tax golf courses, but you tax bowling alleys. You don't tax ski lifts, but you tax miniature golf. I mean, this is crazy.
Right.
This is nuts.
Right.
Okay. And people looked at this and said, wait a minute, it's not fair. Well, people don't vote for things they don't think are fair, and they're understandable. So we're back to square one. We have one of the highest marginal income tax rates in the country. We have an estate tax, a death tax, that's driving investable capital out of Maine every day. You see it leaving right on I-95, going south. We have a sales tax base that's still, it's now again one of the narrowest in the country. And we have a property tax system in Maine that is crushing communities, property owners all over the state because the state doesn't have enough money to pay their share of the cost of education. This is a disaster. But you cannot talk about tax reform in Maine, about really reforming our tax structure, until you squeeze the living bejesus out of spending. People will not listen to you, and they shouldn't. We've got to restore the credibility of the government of the state of Maine. We've got to restore the credibility of the governor. We've got to once again get people to believe that we are guardians of their money.